That's the challenge. It's a faith radio program. I'm Gary McCance. I'd like to acknowledge God and our listeners. Our guest today is Margaret O'Connor, best-selling author, speaker, teacher. Margaret is the author of the new book, Turtle Soup is Enough, which, by the way, has made it to the top 100 bestsellers list on Amazon in two different categories and ranked number one new release. Margaret, welcome to Challenges of Faith radio program.
Oh, thank you. It's wonderful to be on. Thank you for having me.
Hey, and again, it is an honor having you on. First and foremost, how are you and your family?
Oh, we're doing really well. Thank you so much for asking.
What were your aspirations while growing up?
Well, when I was really young, I always wanted to be an author. And then for a while in between, I decided I would prefer to pursue a career in teaching. But after a while in teaching, I've decided that I'd like to go back to writing. And so those were really my aspirations.
Mm-hmm. Well, listeners, now Margaret's only 21. She's talking about when she was younger and the aspiration. Margaret, as a English teacher, when you speak of teaching, why did you pursue mm-hmm. your master's degree in creative nonfiction?
You know, that's actually kind of a funny story, Gary. It was my first year of teaching. It was 2021. My husband and I both got COVID, and I ordered a bunch of books to read because we had to quarantine. And I read this book called Sitting Pretty, and the gal who wrote it, I loved the book. It's a wonderful read if you're ever interested. But the gal who wrote it had a doctorate in creative nonfiction. And I was like, you know, I didn't even know that was a major. I think if I ever pursued, you know, a master's, that's the one I would get. And since I was in quarantine, I was just kind of sitting around. And so I ended up applying to a bunch of programs and got in. And then I ended up asking the school that I worked for, I sent them an email and said, do you folks ever pay for continued education? And my principal was like, well, no, we never have, but I'll ask for you just in case. And our CFO ended up giving me a call. And she said, you know what, Margaret, if you had asked a day before, the answer would have been no. If you had asked a day after, the answer would have been no. But since you asked on this day, we have a grant just for continued education. And since you asked for it, we could pay for your entire degree. And she just said it was a total God thing. Yeah. And so that was just such a huge blessing. That was James Irwin Charter. They really, really funded my entire degree. And they, you know, the CFO just said, you know, this is a gift from God. And I have to agree that it was just the time. I mean, I was the first employee. They've been open for like 25, 30 years, and I'm the first employee ever for them to pay for their education. And I think maybe one of the only employees.
Wow. Congratulations. Think about that. We were talking about your aspirations while growing up. Now, here you've grown. You're teaching, and you're in COVID along with your husband. And here, as a result of being exposed to someone who had a master's degree in creative nonfiction that you had never heard about, you pursued it, and God honored it. Wow. Can't give no honor to no one but him. All right. So, listeners, Margaret is a best-selling author and public speaker. Her works have been published in both literary and academic journals. And she was a finalist for the Annie Dillard Award for Creative Nonfiction by the Bellingham Review. Margaret, congratulations again on all of your successes and the ones to come. Margaret, what type of essays did you generally pen for a college course?
Well, for me, it really varied on the class. So since in my undergraduate, I was an education major, so I wrote a lot of essays on education. But I was specifically an English education major, which is like almost like a dual degree. And so I had English classes and I had education classes, and I was writing papers for both. But the ones that I wrote for my English classes really, really depended on the class. I would write short stories and poems, stories about my life for some classes. And those are really the essays that I really enjoyed writing.
Mm-hmm. Margaret, what happened in your family leading to you writing Turtle Soup is enough?
Well, my younger brother, Dustin, he was 16 years old at the time. He was in a really, really bad car accident, and he ended up being paralyzed from the waist down.
How was you and your faith, your family's faith tested as a result of your younger brother's life-altering accident?
Well, I think that we felt it was hard to watch. You know, my little brother, Dustin, was a very, and he still is a very active kid. But he was, you know, captain of the football team. He wanted to be a Navy SEAL. All of his life, he doesn't play video games. He doesn't sit around or read. His whole life just involved running around outside, you know, doing his fitness exercises, taking care of the farm. And so it was a very devastating event for him. And just watching that kind of on the sidelines was really devastating for us as well. And when those things happen, it can sometimes be a challenge to see that God is good during those times, I think.
So why did you believe that God appeared seemingly indifferent to your challenging faith trial?
Well, there was this one moment in the hospital that really affected me in a big way. So part of becoming a paraplegic for Dustin was that he had something called nerve pain that he had to deal with. And it was a really, really terrible and intense pain. He would talk about it like, he would say it would be like somebody stabbing him in the thigh with a screwdriver, if the screwdriver was electrified and shocked his whole leg. Or one time he said it was like a sunburn that just gets hotter and hotter until his legs were just on fire. And there was this moment early on before he really built up a tolerance to that pain in the hospital that he asked me to pray for his legs and pray for his pain. And I got on my knees and I put my hands on his legs and I said, "Dear Lord, please just take away his pain." And I stood up and Dustin said, "You know what, Margaret, never pray like that again. Right when you said, 'Dear Lord,' it stabbed even worse." And that moment, even though looking back, I know that God was with me and my family. In that moment, my heart just refused to believe that he was. It was like tore up my face and tore me up in a way I didn't know I could be torn up.
Mm-hmm. What profound truth did you learn in the middle of your faith trial?
I would say that the biggest truth I learned is that truth is true no matter how you feel about it. You can just up and walk away from the truth, but it doesn't stop the truth from being the truth. And I think that, you know, I think a lot of times our hearts can acknowledge the truth about God. Our hearts don't always feel like that God is good. Sometimes our hearts can't even believe he's good. But that does it. The postures of our hearts can't change the qualities of the creator of the universe. God stays faithful. He stays good, even when we don't feel like he is.
Mm-hmm. Yes, the great physician, you know, he doesn't heal everyone. You know, as you know, people who have passed. And so, you know, like the individuals out there who are claiming that they are, you know, healers, I always try to say to them, you know, okay, so let's go to the hospitals and try to heal everybody. Well, you know, that's just not the case. And what you're doing is sharing from a personal experience with your relationship with God and how he has dealt with you and your brethren and so forth, and turning that faith into a strengthening faith. Would you agree?
Yes, I would definitely agree.
Margaret, why do you say sometimes it takes a shattering spree from the lies we unknowingly believe?
Well, I think through this experience, I think that before all of these things transpired, I think I, in my heart, not in my mind rationally, but in my heart, I had bought into a lie of a performance-based faith. I think that I thought that since God gave up everything for me, I needed to be enough for him and do all of these things to prove that I was enough for him. And I think in that way, I was almost kind of like taking on a spirit of a Pharisee, of saying, well, I need to work and work and work and work harder for God. I need to go out and fight for God. And I think through this experience, just how God kind of tore down those lies in my heart and tore down that pride in my heart, I learned that it's less about me fighting for, it's less about you fighting for God and more about God fighting for you. And I think we see that biblically, and I've seen that in my own experience as well.
Praise God. Because just like you are sharing, you know, thieves on the cross, the one who accepted our Savior. Do you notice he didn't speak a certain language? He didn't get out and do a certain dance? He didn't wear certain clothes and all that? It just came as a simple faith in the Savior. And through that, he had that confirmation, just like you said, because we're talking about a genuine relationship, not like we have, like you said, whether it's with your husband or your family or friends or peers and so forth, but with God, our Heavenly Father, you know, with his love by grace through faith, it's a different relationship. And like you're sharing, you know, you learn to make a distinction between the both human and the spiritual, and at the same time recognizing that just because we believe that we can call out to God, and we can, that all of a sudden he's going to act on our behalf, and he's letting us know, no, it doesn't kind of like work like that. But at the same time, once you begin to understand, then you begin to grow. You know, it's kind of like, as you know, individuals who think they got it going on, because I know I don't, but remember when our Savior was walking on water and Peter and the apostles, disciples were there and in that boat, and Peter wanted to get all out there on the water, you know, and he got out there and he took his eyes off the Lord and began to sink. And this is what we're talking about, taking our eyes off of us and what we think will work in order for God to move on our behalf. And then he brings us to the truth, and depending on how we accept it. And like you're sharing for your trial, you had to process it, and you learned to accept. You didn't reject it. You didn't become bitter behind it. You may have had some reservations in the beginning, but look how you surrendered, and he's moving you on so that you're able to read, to write what we're going to talk about next, which is when the reader reads your new book, Turtle Soup is Enough, what lessons should be learned, and how are they able to find hope?
I would say the lessons that you should learn are, number one, that truth is true no matter how you feel about it, that God is in your corner even though that even when we don't feel like it. And I think a lesson of hope that I have for folks who aren't feeling those warm feelings towards God, or maybe are feeling angry towards God, I remember, and this is a story from my book, but I remember I was leading a Bible study, and really only one person ever came to my Bible study regularly, and her name was Abby, and she had lost her dad about 4 years earlier. And I was telling her just how badly I missed my faith and how I wanted it back so badly, but I didn't know how to make my heart not mad. Like, I was so mad, and I didn't know how to become unmad. And she told me a story about how shortly after her dad died, she went to the summer camp, and it was one of the first times she was talking to God after her dad's death. And she said she was just out in the woods, and that she was shouting at God, and she was saying a lot of the same things I was saying. And she was telling God that she didn't know when she would be able to trust him again. She didn't know if she would ever be able to trust in him like she had before her dad's death. She didn't know if she could muster that for her. She didn't know when that could happen for her. And she told me, you know what? I don't know if God spoke this into my soul or if he said it out loud, but she said that God told her, daughter, take your time. And I think that sometimes it's easy to, when you're feeling angry or feeling hurt with God, to worry that God is going to abandon you because you have these feelings. But I think the hope is that his character and the Bible and the history of our God just shows that he's not a God who gives up on his people. No matter how they feel about him, he continues to fight for his people. And even if you're struggling with those feelings of pain or hurt or mistrust or faithlessness, God is going to remain faithful to you, and he's going to keep fighting for you, no matter how you feel about him.
Amen. Margaret, how can listeners purchase your book and contact you for interviews?
Well, my book is on Amazon, and so if you look up Turtle Soup is Enough is the title, it should come up on Amazon. And if you want to contact me for an interview, you could shoot me an email at margaret.o'connor.booking@gmail.com.
Why do you believe that God gave us the ability to build community through shared experience?
You know, I think God designed us that way in our original design. I think that we were designed for community, and I think that stories are just a great way to build that community. I think that stories can build empathy in other people. Stories can make you feel understood in a way that you've never felt understood before. And so I think that God truly just designed us for community, both with him and with other people. And that having that shared experience is a great way to build that community.
Margaret, why do you say stop working harder and let God's love transform your life?
I think because in my mind, before this car accident, I felt like I was doing everything I could do for God. I felt like every day I was fighting so hard for God, fighting for him, and I didn't know what else I could do. I remember thinking, you know what? I've done everything I know to do to make God happy with me, and I still don't feel like I'm enough, you know? And I think that really and truly, instead of working harder to try and put to death our own sins, to try and get closer to God, we could rest in God's promise to transform us, that God says that he will transform us, and that sometimes that ability, that power in our own selves, we don't really have that power, but we can go to God and ask him to, and he'll transform you, probably not in the way that you expect him to or on the timeline that you expect him to, but he'll get the job done. He sanctifies his children, and he promises to do so.
It was funny. I was laughing when you said that because I remember claiming a verse. I had just finished some Moody studies, and I had claimed a verse in Philippians, but that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. Margaret, let me tell you something. I tell people today, don't you pray that prayer. Because, boy, the type of trials, journey, up and down, all these types of things. I was like, what? You know, and I'm talking about, So I understand. You're talking about transforming. Wait a minute, Lord, I didn't ask for all that. You know, so I laugh sometimes because I know that God the Father, he looked at God the Son and God the Holy Spirit and says, something wrong with Gary. We asked him, we told him to be over here. He's way over there. We need to transform him real quick. So I understand what you're saying. And it's all because of the love of God. Hey, Margaret, any final words for the listeners?
Oh, I would just say that if you're in a moment of hopelessness, just know that God is in your corner no matter how you feel about him. And also buy my book, please.
That's right. That's right. Listeners, you're hearing from Margaret O'Connor, and you know she's laying it all out on her own personal transformation based upon her own personal trials. And she's sharing, you know, what she had to learn, even though she's a teacher, an instructor, but she's also sharing what she had to learn as a student and a daughter that belongs to our loving and merciful God through Christ. And again, do pick up her book, Turtle Soup is Enough. Read it for you. And then reach out, and whether it's for an interview or just let her know what your thought process has been. Remember, you didn't tune in by accident. That's what it's all about. Margaret, thank you for taking the time, coming on Challenges of Faith Radio program. come back any so times that God so leads. Just share whatever's going on in your sojourn.
Thank you so much, Gary. I really appreciate being able to talk with you today.
All right. It's an honor having you on, and we'll talk with you later.
Worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb.